Dave Player back with you on 720 WGN. So who doesn't like to talk about beer? Well, Brian Watson does. He has been brewing the highest quality products for decades and is one of the most highly respected and celebrated brewmasters on the planet. As an international brewmaster, Brian has won more than 100 international medals and set up breweries all over the world. He is chief judge of the New Zealand International Beer Awards, and he judges at the Australian Beer Awards as well as the World Beer Cup in the U.S., and he's joining us in studio tonight. Good evening, Brian.
Good evening.
So when was it that you first discovered that you had a real interest in the brewing industry? 7, 8 years old? What?
Yes, I'm only a young man. No, it was while we're traveling in the United Kingdom, and I came across some brewers over there, and I thought, wow, this flat, warm, fizzy beer, English beer, is quite new to me. So it was a great discovery, and I managed to have a mentor who was one of the great brewmasters of the UK, and who trained me and taught me all about craft brewing and sitting me down and going, hey, young Watson, this is a Hirst beer. It's made, you know, with for over 2 years and open barrel fermentations right throughout Belgium. It was, you know, a fantastic. That really, you know, before that I was a qualified brewmaster, but didn't really have the passion for it.
But you had a mentor. I mean, that's really important, especially in this industry.
Yeah.
And you're not just into brewing. You love and embrace the history of the industry as well, don't you?
Oh, I love the industry. I love everything about the industry. Yeah. Like I say, I've been in the industry, 25 years now, and love it. You know, I'm fortunate. I have one of the best jobs in the world, which is to travel around the world drinking beer. It's pretty good.
What was your first big job in the business?
Big job in the business was in the Heineken brewery in New Zealand, where I applied for a job as a trainee brewer along with everybody that I knew, and I got the job.
That's awesome.
I was very, very fortunate, and had a great background and training through that group, and then. You know, it was right through every facet of the business, right through from production to setting up beer lines in the stadiums.
So that was good. It was obviously good for a first gig, a first big gig.
A well-rounded kind of introduction and training in the brewing industry.
What was your first big as head brewer? Where were you at?
As head brewer, I actually ran the Monteith Brewery in New Zealand, which is part of the Heineken Empire. And as a young 20-something year old, running a brewery with 30 or 40 staff and making out great beer with that stage an 80% market share of that area was a real eye-opener and a learning experience.
That's great. And now you've been hired all around the world. I mean, you've installed breweries everywhere.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah, I've done installed more than 50, almost 60 breweries now right around the world.
And beer is pretty indicative of the region. I mean, you really have to look at where you're going, and there's just different tastes and different styles that are out there, and you got to kind of you have to work toward that for that area, right?
Absolutely. You look at England, the UK, you've got whole different beer styles over there. I spent a year brewing in Dublin. Quite a different beer culture over there in the stouts and also the lagers. And then, even in Australia and New Zealand and the East Coast, West Coast, US, there's a real difference in style when you go from one to the other. People are more, they like hops or they don't.
I was looking at some of the research, Brian, and it was saying that small and independent craft brewers saw a 6% rise in volume, more than 12% market share in the beer industry. Number of operating U.S. breweries grew almost 17%. Small and independent breweries accounted for 99% of the operating breweries. So I was looking at this, 5,300 breweries in the U.S. and 5,200 are craft brewers.
Oh, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's, I think, 2 new breweries a day coming into the U.S.
Wow.
A day, which is awesome.
Now, we don't have to call out the brands, but you had a couple beers when you got in here last night, and you were a little, being who you are and what you've done all around the world, you were a little less impressed. You think there's some great opportunity here in Chicago?
Oh, I'll be the first to admit I'm the pickiest
I would
person
hope
when
so.
It comes,
yeah,
to,
yeah.
comes to drinking beer. So, I'm always seeking perfection in beer, just like, if I'm, you're like, as a chef, you always, your cooking's never good enough. Look, I think, there's always room for improvement here, and especially in some of the beers that I've tried in Chicago over the years, there's some great beer here, and there's some that could do with a little bit of improvement.
Sure, absolutely. And then I'm looking too, craft breweries have also been gobbled up by a lot of the mainstream larger brewers. So what we're going to talk about in a little bit, it really allows to have that local flavor and local brew happen right here and not controlled by a behemoth, so to speak. Any bar, restaurant, even if you're in a small neighborhood pub, you too can have your own microbrewery. And it sounds like it could be something overwhelming, but you are part of this organization called Smart Brew, and it really allows any local business to get into this.
Exactly right. So it came about a few years ago where we decided that we wanted to be able to enable hospitality industry, people with bars and restaurants and clubs, to be able to make their own beer. But of course, the risk is that not everyone can make beer, because that's why we have brewmasters.
Right,
so,
of course.
So the idea was to be able to create something that was as automated as possible, to be able to let anyone in the world make beer. And not just beer, make really good quality beer. The hardest thing in brewing is making good beer consistently. And that's really how we've tried to do it.
Now, I'm a craft brew guy, and I have friends that are really, really into it. And no matter where we're at in the country, they want to have something as localized as possible.
Fantastic.
Nothing with a big name on it. Yeah. And so this really does allow this in markets that might not even have this.
Absolutely. So what we've got is you've got people who can use local fruits, local hops, local blueberries, local mangoes, grapefruit.
That's interesting. Yeah,
I've seen lots of interesting stuff put into beer.
Yeah, that's cool. No, I like that. I like having the local flavor in there as well. How does it all work though? Like if you wanted to, put this in your local restaurant or bar and make this happen, how does that process work?
Oh, as simple as that. We've got the website, which is the smartbrew.com website. You go on there and then You speak to one of our guys, and then they'll talk to you about how to set it up. So you set up, it's a fermentation system, so it's a brewery.
Do you need a lot of room for this? I mean, how much room?
Yeah, about 100 square feet.
Okay.
So
pretty small. That's not bad.
No, pretty small. And the idea is because, when we set it up, we wanted to keep the footprint small, because at a hospitality venue, you haven't got much.
You don't.
And every dollar per square foot is expensive.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Especially here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And so you keep it small and make it automated so that you can be able to make really consistent beer. So you get it in, you get in the high gravity wort, which I make either in a couple of my breweries, either in New Zealand or in Germany, and then you add it with obviously everything else, which is the water and the hops and then the fruit and the whatever you want to do to be able to make the beer that you want.
And the wort.
And the wort. Wort is the high gravity wort, yes.
Okay. Now, how many different beer styles can you actually produce with this system? Anything.
Unlimited.
Endless.
Unlimited.
Yeah,
endless.
That.
So, I've got customers around the world making Australian pale ales, East Coast IPAs, West Coast IPAs, blueberry beer, grapefruit radler. Australia last week, they won, one of our customers won an award with a Szechuan pepper.
Wow.
Really spicy, just enough to balance that hop character.
Now, is that when you're doing that? I mean, obviously, I know you have a team of people that will help guide folks when they bring the system into their business. But I mean, is all of this, trying different local blueberries or different flavors, is that all very much just experimental? I mean, you're just trying a little bit and seeing what the balance is in some of these brews?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's according to your own local tastes and local flavors, what your customers want, because ultimately we make beer for our customers.
Sure.
So we at awards, it's all about trying to fit your beers into those boxes, not necessarily to win awards. So it's about making beer for your customers.
And the Smart Brew system's already won some awards already, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think 27 or 28.
Wow.
Now. Yeah, around the world.
Very cool. Now, I assume, we say everyone can be a craft brewer. There's an extensive training program. This isn't something, you're spending a lot of time with these folks making sure it's up and running properly.
Yeah, look, we have a lot of online video training, a lot of video content where you can see how we're doing it. We film it all in the breweries, and there's a lot of time developing, obviously I spent a lot of time developing the system and the beer and everything like that to go behind it. So once you're up and going, it doesn't take you long. So in the first month, we held your hands right through it, but pretty much after a month, you're good to go.
You're on. And obviously this stuff is tapped. Are you able to have all this stuff bottled as well, so people can take it home with them or buy it from a retailer?
Yeah, you can absolutely.
Okay.
What I prefer to do is you pull the beer straight from the tank.
Because
the best beer is fresh beer, straight from the fermentation vessel.
That's
straight
cool.
from the beer tanks.
See, I love that too, because then you're not only making an investment for your business, but you can actually bottle the stuff and actually package it and get it out there.
Canning, probably, as you know, is just really taken off in this part of the world for a number of reasons. And so there's a little can lines you can get which will fill the growlers. And
I heard that.
Growlers, they can take them away. They can take a 1 litre, 32 ounce can and take it away and take it home and drink it.
I love that. Because it really puts you in the business. You know, it makes you feel like you really got a piece of it when you can get it out there.
When you're coming into a restaurant or a bar and you want to have a beer, you can just think, oh man, that's a really good beer, and you take it home with you for afters.
Now, what are your? Now I'm just going to ask you personally. You say you're very picky and so forth. What are some of your favorites? Like when you're making beer, like what's your kind of go to as far as flavor, as far as style?
Oh,
I know it's a big question.
Lots of people ask me that everywhere. You know what? I'm always learning. I'm always seeing new different types of beers. So, for example, you know, I judged the Australian Beer Awards a couple of weeks ago, and I came across a beer that blew me away. I couldn't believe how good it was. It was a cucumber and watermelon American wheat beer.
Would not expect that.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. The cucumber in the front, and then the watermelon came through in the palate. And it was, I just thought, I gave it the highest mark I've ever given a beer
in
the competition. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you travel around the world, you try different beer styles. So, you know, I love IPAs, probably as many people do, but I love a really good citrus with a really defined malt and hop profile.
Very cool.
So it's got to be, it can't be muddy. It's got to be upfront and ballsy. Yeah.
What is the most unique, unusual flavor that you have tasted in a beer? Because you've had to go across those paths quite a bit.
A couple of years ago, you know, and sort of you experience a lot of it through the judging process. Yeah. So, you know, as you said before, I judged it. I judged New Zealand and the US and the UK, and it was a deer semen beer,
which was
Yeah.
Yeah, not fabulous. No,
fair to say, I didn't win a medal.
Okay, fair enough. What's the most common? Is it generally fruits that you find their way into beers? I mean, is that the most common thing you see out there?
IPAs. Anything with the word IPA on it seems to sell really well. So, you know, and there are lots of IPAs now.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, there was just IPA. Now there's East Coast, West Coast IPA.
Yeah.
There's black IPA, white IPA, red IPA, grapefruit IPA. I mean, there's lots of different beer styles. So that's probably when you judge in the World Beer Cup, it'll be 450 IPAs.
Sure. What do you think of all these bourbon beers that have made their debut over the last few years?
I like
you a fan?
Oh, yeah,
me too.
Oh, I like
me
them.
Too.
I like them a lot.
Yeah.
But they've got to be made well.
Yes, absolutely.
They've got to be made well. They've got to be really beautiful, and the bourbon not too strong. And it's all about balance. You know, beer is about balance, just like life's about balance. You know, it's that balance between we have it work and life and working. It's got to be about the hops and the malt, or it's about the bourbon. In this case, it's bourbon and the malt. It's got to be in balance.
It's potent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 9%.
Not for the faint of heart.
You don't want to be drinking pints of it.
No, you do not. No,
try and walk home.
Well, this is very cool. Again, for more of all this, and again, if you're a local restaurant bar, you've always wanted to get into the world of craft brewing, you can find more information at smartbrew.com. Master Brewer Brian Watson, thank you for sharing this with us. I feel like we need to have some beer in here for the conversation. We'll have to do that next time.
I think we should have one now.
We should go do that. All right. Thanks, Brian.
Cheers. Thanks, Todd.